us to be able once again to gather ourselves together to take part in the service done in His name. It is always a great blessing to be able for to gather together unbothered by the world. And we have this beautiful opportunity to do God's will. May not always be that way, but we have that way now.
Amen.
And thankful that God gives us this chance. this morning, we're going to... before I get into my message, I want to offer a word that if there is any subjects that people want to know more about and that you would want to hear from either in Bible study or from sermon or preached sermons on, just let me know. I try to preach towards what I know the congregation needs and just a general path of spiritual growth. And sometimes people need to know more about specific subjects, so if you have things that you really want to know more about, that you want to hear from, then just let me know, and I have no problem with trying to teach on those things.
Okay.
All right. So this morning we're going to look at James chapter 1. And we're going to be looking at verses 9 through 11. Chapter 1, verses 9 through 11. We have already looked at the first eight verses of James chapter 1. And where we see James is starting to get into the beneficial nature of tribulations. And here in verse 9, he says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation, but the rich in his humiliation, because as a flower of the field he will pass away. For no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flowers falls, and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man will also fade away in his pursuits." And also in verse 12, it says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love him." Okay. There is a poem by Francis Dugan titled, "Death is the Great Equalizer." Some die of natural causes in a tragic way, but for every single one of us, a final night and day. Without respect for the power of wealth and without respect of fame, for fame, death, the great equalizer, treats everyone as the same.
Amen.
Without respect for anyone or creatures, great or small, the billionaires of the world to the reaper's scythe do fall. Let at least the one who does claim every life promotes equality amongst the wealthy of the world and those in poverty. Some live on to a ripe old age, and some die in their prime, and some even die as children. They are not granted much time. Not ageist or discriminatory in any way, he claims the lives of the very young and those who are old and gray. He's a true egalitarian. Of him, one can only say. And for each and every one of us, a final night and day." When I hear this, I'm reminded of the Shingrix commercial that you see on television every so often. A lady and her family are finally saying, she says her and her family are finally eating healthier. And the announcer says, "Good for you, but Shingles doesn't care."
Yeah.
A runner says that he logged 10,000 steps today, and again the announcer says, "Shingles doesn't care." And I think the same thing can be said of death. Death doesn't care how much money is in your bank account. Death doesn't care what your plans are for the future. Death doesn't care what your political views are, or how much good you've done, or how much evil you've done in this world. Death is unbiased. And this is significant because we live in a world that is not always equal. Despite the vast inequalities that can be and are experienced in this world, every man, woman, and child has an appointment with death. Regardless of whether you are a famous and wealthy athlete like Kobe Bryant, or a humble, lifelong servant like Mother Teresa, even the unknown homeless person sleeping on the streets must meet with that appointment. And the one thing that makes the difference is the perspective of the person experiencing it. In James chapter 1, verse 9, James begins to discuss the rich and the poor. James makes it abundantly clear that the rich and the poor, well, James doesn't make it abundantly clear, but it is abundantly clear that the rich and the poor in our society experience a vastly different lifestyle. Those who are wealthy find it easy to buy whatever they want to and to live the life that they choose. In most cases, they don't have need for anything, while those who are poor or of humble means have very strict financial limitations, and in many cases, their income, if they have any, is insufficient to meet their bare necessities. And, and they are lacking the power, in most cases, that the riches often endure. The rich often endure. Those who are wealthy have no trouble finding significance in society. Quite often, their wealth and their careers provide them the opportunity to have access to highly esteemed positions and social status. They are the ones who typically rise to power, and as such, they are the ones who receive the greater measure of honor. But the Bible presents a slightly different perspective. James says, "Let the lowly brother glory in his exaltation." The New Living Translation says, "Believers who are poor have something to boast about, for God has honored them." Yeah. Notice that he didn't start to get into how the poor and the rich use their resources. He is dealing primarily with them having the proper perspective and us having the right attitude toward those in these categories. Mm-hmm. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27 says, "But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty." God likes to take our way of seeing things and turn them upside down. The way God sees it, if you are poor, you are the one that should be receiving the special honor. And ultimately, it's in an effort of God to take our focus off the transient nature of this world. See, everything in this world that we experience, that we love and we cling on to, all the things that we gather up and hoard into our homes, those things are purely temporary. Our focus should be on the long term, on eternity. When you're a lowly brother or sister in Christ, our riches are seen in the blessings of God. Proverbs chapter 10, verse 22 says, "The blessings of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it." There is nothing wrong with being rich. But when you are rich, it becomes necessary to, when you're not rich, excuse me, it becomes necessary to trust and depend on God. Mm-hmm. So I already said, you know, when you're rich, you can get whatever you want to. And you have no problem with that. But when you're poor, it becomes a struggle just to get the basic necessities of life. Mm-hmm. You're forced to depend, but it becomes very necessary to depend and trust on God to provide you what you need, to rely on him to supply you with everything. And there is a peace, really, that comes with dependence on God. You know that that no matter what comes your way, God is going to make sure that you have what you need. Yeah. It took a long time for me to get to that point to just trust that God was going to be there for me. You know, for years, I was always of that mindset that I needed to be rich, that I needed to get as much money as possible. But when I got to that point when I understood that God was going to be providing me what I needed every single day, there was the anxiety that I experienced started to disappear.
Yep.
When you have a lot of money and possessions, you're always striving to get more. And not only that, there's our ongoing concern for protecting what it is that you have accumulated. Because the thought of losing what you have can be devastating for some people. And look at the rich man who came to Jesus in Luke chapter 18. Jesus told him what commandments he needed to keep. And in verse 21, he says, "All these things I have kept from my youth." So when Jesus heard these things, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me." But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. You spend your whole life focused on gathering stuff, getting. I gotta get more. It becomes very painful with the concept of losing any of it.
Yeah.
See, there is no need to be sorrowful when we serve God. When God is providing you everything you need every day. Because you know that what you have lost, God will provide again.
Yeah.
Abraham, when he was confronted with the possibility of losing his son, he was asked to sacrifice his son. He had no problem because he knew that God was the one who gave him that son in the first place, and God could give him another son if he wanted.
Amen.
So it wasn't about a lack of love. It was more of a trust, an abiding trust in God. And as we have pointed out time and time again, he already believed that he was going to come down again from that mountain with his son. Philippians chapter 4, verse 19 says, "My God shall supply every need of yours according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus." 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 8 says, "And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that having all sufficiency in all things at all times, you may abound in every good work." You know, it's almost like a weight being lifted off your shoulders. When God is providing you everything that you need on an ongoing basis. And as I said earlier, death doesn't care how rich you are. You could become a trillionaire in this world, but if you haven't built up riches in heaven, you are truly poor in the sight of God.
Amen.
Because as James says, everything in this world will fade away. There's a song I like by Matthew West called "My Own Little World." The lyrics go like this. It says, in my own little world, it hardly ever rains. Never gone hungry, always safe. I got some money in my pocket, shoes on my feet. In my own little world, population me. I try to stay awake, awake till Sunday morning. Church, I throw a 20 in the plate, but I never give till it hurts. I turn off the news when I don't see what I like. Yes, yeah, it's easy to do when it's population me. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose I could be living right now? Outside my own little world, stopped at a red light, looked out my window and I saw a cardboard sign. Said, "Help this homeless widow," just above the sign. Was the face of a human. I thought to myself, "God, what have I been doing?" So I rolled down the window and I looked her in the eye. Oh, how many times have I just passed her by? I gave her some money, then I drove on through. In my own little world, there's population too. What if there's a bigger picture? What if I'm missing out? What if there's a greater purpose I could be living right now? Outside my own little world, oh, my own little world, I'm going to break my heart for what breaks yours. Give me open hands and open doors. Put your light in my eyes and let me see that my own little world is not about me.
Amen.
See, you could focus all your attention and your energy on your own little world. When it's all said and done, what will matter most when you stand before Jesus? What will endure beyond this world? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, "Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." See, my heart rests in heaven. I don't spend all my time trying to gather up money, even though money is nice. I spend my time trying to build treasures in heaven. I long to be exalted by God, not lifted up by man. See, James says that the rich should glory in his humiliation. The New Living Translation actually says, and those who are rich should boast that God has humbled them.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to see that God is not saying that there's anything wrong with being wealthy. It's just necessary that those who are wealthy have the right attitude. This was especially necessary in the first century when the church was being established. We all know that when the church was established, there were people from all over the world there. And they were Christians who changed their whole lives there in Jerusalem. And many of them were poor. And so you had those who were wealthy already, became Christians, who decided to do what was necessary to help those who were in need. People who didn't have the attitude of hoarding their wealth, they decided to do what was necessary to help people. Acts chapter 4, verse 37, people like Barnabas sold their property, took the money and gave it to the apostles to make sure that people had what they needed. God knows what's important to us. Sometimes we don't know what's most important to us because we just go on automatic. Barnabas didn't have the value, he didn't value that property as highly as he valued helping God's people.
Amen.
James says in verse number 11, for no sooner has the sun risen with a burning heat than it withers the grass. Its flower falls and its beautiful appearance perishes. So the rich man also will fade away in his pursuits. When we first moved into the mobile home that we live in right now, the park planted flowers out in front of our mobile home, and they were very beautiful flowers. You know, the problem is the way that the house sits, the sun is always casting right above those flowers, right above our house, and so all day long, these flowers are getting baked in the sun, and so even though they were very beautiful when they put these flowers in, now they're all withered and dried. And I mean, no matter how much water we put into them, they're still getting burned up in the sun. And so, of course, no matter what we do, the flowers that were once beautiful have faded away. Riches and material wealth are the same way in our lives. That it may be great for a season, but sooner or later, these things will go away. It's great when we get good things, nice things. I have owned two Cadillacs in the course of my life. No matter how careful I was in taking care of those Cadillacs, they both got small scratches and dents over time. And they got older, and parts needed to be replaced. And both of those have come and gone. I think about women who get their hair done. Some of them spend a crazy amount of money to get their hair done. I've seen women pay, you know, thousands of dollars to get their hair done. And without a doubt, in a short amount of time, they end up having to get their hair done all over again. And so the point is that the most beautiful things that we want to hold on to, eventually, they will go away. And they don't last for eternity. But the most important thing for us to look towards is not the things that are fleeting, but the things that will endure for eternity. In the same way people work towards accomplishing great things so that their name will live on, that they will leave a legacy, you know, having great achievements. But given enough time, someone comes along to accomplish something even greater. You know, it was a great thing for them to break the sound barrier the first time. And now they have ships that can go even faster than that. When they, at one point, it was an amazing thing for them to be able to run the mile in a certain amount of time. And now they've broken that like two or three times. You know. And so the glory of what has been achieved sometimes is soon forgotten. So the question is, what have you really put the focus of your life on? What are you prepared to receive when you leave this life? In Luke chapter, the 16th chapter, we read about the deaths of the rich man and Lazarus. Lazarus was a beggar and had nothing. The rich man, being rich, ate well and lived any way that he wanted. He had nice things, but apparently those things were all that were important to him. Because when he died, he opened his eyes and he was in torment in Hades, while Lazarus goes to Abraham's bosom in paradise. So, what is the most important thing in your life? The rich man valued his riches. What are you putting your focus towards? Where will you spend eternity based off of how you have lived your life? How are you using the resources that God has blessed you with in this life right now? Is your focus only on yourself, or do you have a heart to help those who are in need? So what is the most important to you in this life? Luke chapter 6, verse 38 says, "Give, and it will be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over, will be put into your bosom. For with the same measure that you use, it will be measured back to you." What will you reap on that last day? What you do here absolutely matters. Not that God has a problem with you achieving great things. He doesn't have a problem with you becoming wealthy or having so many things that you want to do in this life. As I said this morning in Bible study, he wants you to have balance in all things. You have to make sure that you have your priorities straight. And as a matter of fact, when your priorities are straight, it is God who will exalt you, not just in that last day, but also here in this world.
Yeah.
If you think about it, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, all three of them were wealthy men. David was a king, rich by any man's standard. Solomon, they're people who searched for years for his mind, hoping to get a little small grasp of the riches that he had. When your priorities are straight, God will bless your life in ways that you can't even imagine.
Amen.
The most important thing is that you just know where your source, the source of everything you have, comes from.
Yep.
This morning, be one of those individuals who realizes and understands that you can accomplish great things, but you can do so by the hand of the one who blesses us every single day.
Yeah.
God's resources, and he says he is the God who has a thousand cattle on the misquoting. God has ultimate resources. He can do anything he needs for us in our lives. He can bless us in any way we stand in need of. And that is so much of a great blessing to know that no matter what happens in your life, God is the one providing you the way. Even when you can't do anything for yourself, God will make sure that you have what you need. This morning, be one who puts God first in all things, and he will make sure that you have a way. Whatever your needs are, let them be known. As together we stand and sing the invitation song.
When we walk with